messages, and he said, "Well, son, I wish I could be there. I would sing for you tonight." And I said, "Dad, I would let that happen." He sings off key because he can hear, but that's okay. Just to have him there. My time is quarter till, and I'm supposed to be done at half an hour. And I will try to give me about 10 minutes over that because you don't want to hear me speak fast. Trust me, you wouldn't like that. I have to go steady as she goes. I went into the ministry at 16 years of age, traveling in youth camps around the country, speaking youth conventions. Now I'm doing senior citizens camps. Time marches on. I was known as the gifted orator of the Oregon District. They called me the golden tongue. I had a natural gift to orate the words that I was speaking. I was, in fact, a wordsmith. And I was talented, very gifted, and I used those gifts to further the kingdom of God. In my second church in Portland, Oregon, I had such a hunger for God. The Psalms played an important part in the shaping of my ministry now. It started out when I read what David wrote in Psalms 25, verse 4, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truths and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." I began to have such a hunger for God. It was in that time that they discovered what they thought was a blood clot on my brain, the size of a big blood tumor on my brain. And so one day I was standing in front of the fireplace in my right side when paralyzed. They took me to the hospital and they did some examinations and they said, "If we don't operate in the next 48 hours, we fear for your life." Now, when you know that you're facing odds of those nature, and that night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I knew that I was going to die, that is a good time to have a prayer meeting. Forget the offering, forget everything, just get down to prayer. And so I did, and my prayer was eloquent, and I said, "Come, Sovereign God, let us reason together. This is unwise what you're going to allow to happen to me." And I was trying to give God some wisdom. After all, he's in charge of the whole creation. Maybe he had a bad day, you know? So I reasoned with him in every way that I could, but I didn't have any response from heaven. And then knowing that God was the genesis of the creation theory and the evangelistic theory and all of those things, he was the one that said, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel." I knew right then that he was a missions-minded God. So I pointed to him towards our budget and what we had given in the church that year. We have given more money to missions that year than the entire church had given in its lifetime. And I said, "God, look at the record." And I said, "What are these people going to do without me?" And then the Lord got into the picture. He said, "Hey, Dwayne, I don't need you, but you sure do need me." It was one of those moments that would be a life-changing moment. And I stood up from that altar and I formed a cup out of my hands. And I said, God, these represent your hands. I put Duane Parrish in your hands. If you want to take me home, that's okay. If you want to leave me here for the work that you have destined for me, that I will go and I will say and I will do what you want me to do. The moment I prayed that prayer, a relinquishment, I knew that I was going to live. I didn't know what the future held, but I knew that I was going to live. I had never been sick a day in my life. I was the one that willingly went to the hospital to call on my parishioners. Now I found myself on the other side of the bed. I was the one that was holding the robe in the back, trying to keep it shut. I now know why they call it the ICU ward. Yes. Big time. That's the only place that the ordained minister can moon people and get by with it. They took me in to do the surgery. They cut this left side of my cranium off, and they didn't find a tumor, but they found a blood clot that was the size of a man's fist wrapped around my speech center. So in order to get that blood clot out, they had to suck away 3 inches of my speech center. And when I woke 5 days later, I knew who I was, I knew what I did, I knew the people in the room, I was completely cognizant, but when I wanted to utter the words that were tripping on the avenues of my mind, I couldn't say a word but 2 words. Oh God, oh God. Every day I got up from that hospital bed and I put the robe in correct position, and then I whistled the hymns of the church as I walked down the halls. And the first one I whistled was, Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning do mercies I see. All I have needed that hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, to me. And then I would say the only 2 words that I could say, O God, O God. The doctors wanted me to write my name, but I couldn't write my name. I've always been an optimistic kind of guy. I'm like the guy that fell off the Empire State Building, and they heard him say as they passed the 25th floor, so far, so good. That was my attitude. Okay, Duane, you can't talk. Just think how many people that will make happy. And you can't write, you will never have to worry about writing another correspondence. And I said, at least you can read God's word and get some solace for your soul. So I opened up the word of God, and when my eyes fell on the text, I found out that I couldn't read. All my communications were taken from me, but 2 words, oh God. I got very, very depressed. I could hear myself in the recesses of my mind saying, God, why? Why? What have I done? All I wanted to know was know more about you. What is going on? I went home after 3 months in the hospital with that same spirit of depression on my mind. My associate pastor came by one day and he rang the doorbell and I invited him in. And he said, Pastor, the Bellagram Association is having the Johnny Erickson picture shown here in the theaters for all the ministers. Why don't you go and see if that will help? I got up, we went to the theater, we were early that day, and all of the pastors were talking. You know, Ron, when you get pastors together before the set time, you got a beehive of conversation. But one pastor wasn't talking, your guest this morning. And the Holy Spirit began to talk to my spirit. I'm not a guy that hears voices. I'm not a guy that is Looney Tunes. But I know when God speaks to my spirit. And he spoke to my spirit and said, "What sermons have you preached to your people that had meant the most to you as the communicator?" I thought for a moment and I said, "Praise and worship and the sovereignty of God." When I took that struggling church, I got alone with God and I said, "God, what do you want me to preach to these people?" And he said, "I want you to preach to them how to praise me and worship me." I must say that I thought that was a strange request because, after all, I grew up in the assemblies. I knew that you praise God between the third hymn and the offering. I knew that. And I had the right motions. I'm sad to say, in all the years that I served in up to that time, I never went into his presence and say, "God, have I told you lately how much I love you? You are so awesome. I just want to bow down before you and love you." In that series of sermons, I said to my people, "You have got to praise God for who he is, not for what he can do for you." On the sovereignty of God is a sermon that we Pentecostals don't preach too much on, because we think, if we preach on the sovereignty of God, that will undermine the faith message. But not at all. When you understand the sovereignty of God, you understand that life has its ups and downs, and when you're in the up, you praise God. When you're in the down, you praise God, and you realize that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. No wonder Paul could say, as Pastor read this morning in Romans 8:31. "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" He knew the sovereignty of God. And I said this little statement in my message that day. It's God's ball game, and he's got a right to call the shots in our lives, knowing this one thing: he always does it for our good, not for our demise. I believe that. See, God was preparing me for the test of my life. It's important for us to realize when we are involved in a test, in afflictions, in trials, that God doesn't send you into those trials unprepared. He always prepares you for the battle. So the film started, and Johnny dove off in the water, and the next thing, the ambulance is taking her to the hospital with a broken neck, and the Holy Spirit put that film on hold and said to me these words: "If I don't heal you past this present stage, could you praise me?" And I said, "No. Come on, God. Don't you remember I got saved when I was 5 years old? I went into the full-time ministry at the age of 16. Well, yes, in my preteens, I did smoke a pack of cigarettes, but I didn't inhale. And I was very angry with God. I went home from that movie, and I walked into the door. Violet, my wife, said, "What is wrong? Are you having a physical attack?" And in my anger at God, it manifested itself on the horizontal plane. I put my hands on her shoulder, and I gave her a push. In that push, I was saying, "Get out of this office. I don't need you." She wouldn't get out of that office, and I bypassed her and went to my gun closet and got my 300 Magnum gun and was looking for a shell to commit suicide that day. You say, how can you, as a pastor, tell congregations that? I'll tell you why. Because when God was forming this ministry and laying this ministry on my heart, he said, do not tell the people about all the good things. Tell them about the human part too. And then tell them about the divine part. See, I was acting very human because all my life I had trusted in my talents, in my abilities, and all of those things. In my humble, proud way, I would say to you, oh, it's God. But I knew it was me too. Now, all of that was taken. If you would have given me $1 billion to say, hi, how are you doing today? I couldn't say that. And Violet beat upon my chest and said, don't do this, don't do this. I can't stand anymore. Once again, I shoved her. And she turned away from me and walked slowly out of that office. And I heard her fall with a thump by the couch. And I heard her begin to intercede in prayer for the situation that day. It wasn't a fancy prayer. It was just, God, I can't help Dwayne. Only you can. And right then, the Holy Spirit brought the words of my godly father when I was 10 years old, getting up from the altar call. He put his arms around me and said, Dwayne, you're a very talented young man. God has gifted you. But he said, always remember this. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not cross the threshold of your will. Now, that day, being 10 years old, I didn't say to my father, oh, Dad, let me sit down on this pew and drink in that rich wisdom that you're saying to me. I mean, you're 10 years old. But hang with me. See, that day, got an insight of the job description of the Holy Spirit. He is assigned to us by the Father to bring back to our remembrance. And he was bringing back the vital source that I needed that day. With a gun to my hand, with the ringing of my father's words in my ear, I knew that I was in my Garden of Gethsemane. What I would do with my life depended upon my will. I threw the gun down, lifted my hands up, and I said, God, forgive me for my rotten attitude. In answer to your question you posed to me earlier this day, if you see fit that I can't handle my voice, then please don't return it to me. And I want you to know, from this day on, I will praise you and honor you and love on you because you're God. You're worthy of all my praise. I walked out of the office to the living room, and I wanted to communicate to Violet what her prayers of intercession had accomplished that day. But I had one little problem. I couldn't write, couldn't talk, couldn't point her to the scriptures. I couldn't do anything. So I thought for all my Italian friends. You know, if you tie their hands down to their sides, they can't talk. And I pulled her up from the couch, and taking my made-up sign language for the Italians, I put my hands to my lips, and then I flung them away to heaven, back and forth and back and forth. And then I grabbed her by the free hand. And I lifted my hand, and she lifted her hand. And we walked around that place with me saying, "Oh God, oh God, oh God," and her praising God in English. And we did that for almost 2 hours. And I want you to know that the glory of God settled in upon us that day. I didn't care whether I ever talked again or not. If I didn't read or write, it didn't matter to me, because God was so real to me that day. He assured me that I was in His hands. He was molding me and making me into the vessel that He wanted me to be. Not that I wanted me to be, but what He wanted me to be. Let's fast forward it to 6 months. I was beginning to form some words. My intonations and my diction was not there. Thinking about the church that I so desperately loved, I wanted them to be rid of me because I didn't want the board to wonder how they were going to get rid of a pastor that couldn't speak, couldn't read, and couldn't write. I think that's logical, that you should have a pastor that could speak, you know. So I didn't want them to worry about that. I remember that night we had our board meetings at the home of different board members. We were in the meeting in the living room, and I stood up and I laborly said, I'm going to quit. I couldn't say resign. And Bob Luke, one of my deacons, said, "Pastor, has God said to you that you are to resign?" I said, "No, but..." And he said, "Pastor, I don't care what your reasons are. I want to hear what God is saying to us." And he said, "Men, this is the most important decision that we'll have to make. Has God talked to you about pastor stepping down?" And 7 no's came in. Rom, I will never forget that day as long as I live. Bob Luke, full beard, turned to me with his hands extended. And he said, "There you have it. You are our pastor." They gave me a year and a half off with a raise in pay. I do like that board. It so touched me that I said to my associate, "Get a basin of water and a towel meant take off your shoes. And I knelt beside each board member's feet. Washing of the feet is something that I said I will never do because that's the custom in the New Testament time. So I didn't know if you were to scrub between the toes or just symbolically splash the water over the feet, and I chose the latter. I didn't look at the feet, I looked into the eyes. And I said to 7 board members, I want to be God's servant and your servant. When I got through, they washed my feet and they said the same thing to me. We had 8 years. It took me about 7 years to get back to where I could function properly. And the Lord was saying to me, you have got to go wherever I send you. I said, God, we have a poor connection. Can you call me back? I didn't want that because I had a group of people, a church body, that look after me, and they love me, and they provided for me. And God was saying, I want you to step out. Don't be demanding. Just do everything that I say, and I will support you. So I announced that to my board, and they smiled. And they said, you know, this week, as we've been in prayer, the Lord impressed on us that you are going to resign and we are going to take your resignation. Beyond that, we are giving you a multi-$1,000 check to start this ministry destined to overcome. And we have been traveling for 19 years, 50 weeks out of the year, around the world, sharing the gospel. I'm not the orator that I used to be. I have to think before I speak. Because to think of it, that would do us all good. But I'm sure in love with Jesus. I'm proof positive that he can turn around what the Satan said is not going to work and make it work. The doctors came to Violet about 6-8 months after the surgery and said, we are worried about you. And she said, why are you worried about me? And they said, because you're acting happy. You're in denial. What we did to Dwayne's brain, we had to do that. And we're sorry that he will never speak again. And you know what? I traveled a lot with doctors over in Vietnam. I don't know everything about the medical profession, but I know that they are right on this area. You cannot suck 3 inches of a 48-year-old man's speech center out and then say, go up on that stage and break a leg. It doesn't happen. I know that I am a miracle. God has restored me to the ministry. Maybe you're here this morning and you are in that same place that I was in. Why me, God? What's going on? God, I'm praying. Are you hearing? God, are you there? I want you to know that God is there and he's working in your life. trials are not fun, but we are told to rejoice in them because they're producing something in our lives. I want you to bow your heads as we come to the close of this part of the service. Maybe you're struggling with a trial of physical nature. Maybe you're struggling with a trial of financial nature. Maybe you're struggling with the voice of God in your life. I want you to know that God has you in His hand. How many here would say, Dwayne, I'm that person. Would you pray for me? Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Thank you, 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 me so much. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I want you, as you're sitting, I want you just to form a cup out of your hands. And I'm going to pray a prayer. Dear Jesus, you see those cups that people have formed out of their hands. Those cups represent your hands. And we place our trial, we place our lives, we place everything about us, what touches us and what we touch, in your hands. I pray, God, that you will take us and hold us in your hands. God, I pray that you will give wisdom and strength and knowledge and support. Jesus, we know that we are in your hands. I pray for healing. I pray for assistance in getting the job. I pray for the master healer of broken hearts to come and walk among us. We purpose in our heart we'll praise you in all of our lives because you're worthy of all of our praise. In Jesus' name, we accept this. In Jesus' name, amen. Six years ago, I was working in my yard, and Dave Reaver, my friend, called me on the phone and said, Dwayne, I want you to go to Vietnam with me. And he said, Dave, I haven't been in the war. You have. You're taking back vets. And, you know, I don't think I would fit in. He said, I want you to go because you have a testimony. And they are brokenhearted. They need to hear that God loves them. So I went, and when we were over there, we went to a communist official's place. Mr. Nip is the head of the SAP ministry, people for poor people. And he told us that in 61 provinces, there is 61,000 cases, 600,000 cases of blindness, and 350,000 of those are kids born with cataracts. Three things that causes that: the lack of proper nutrition, the lack of prenatal care, and the Agent Orange that has seeped down into the groundwater tables in these contaminating that source. And he said, I have good news. No, he didn't save a bunch of money on his car insurance. I doubt very seriously if they have car insurance. But he said for $125, you can remove those cataracts. And I spoke up and I said, well, why don't they do that? I was very, you know, mad. And he looked at me and said, well, they only make $260 a year. And that's when the Lord laid the burden on my heart for 2020. That's what the Lord said to call it. I argued with the Lord and I said, no, God, 2020 has already been taken. And he said, don't get smart with me. And I said, well, we're not a big organization. He said, all I want you to do is tell the people and let me work with their hearts. I have done that. And in the past 5 years, we have raised over $140,000 to give kids back their sight. Pictures say a lot, so run the video and we'll close.
Would this be applicable to kids as well as adults?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
As long as the child is cooperative and can keep their head there.
I just thank the Lord for you. You are my adopted sister.
And I love you.
And I'm praying for your hands. That they will give sight back to the blind. So they can see what I see in you.
A beautiful person.
In a child, and you could reach the world. You could reach the world with just one seed. Plant a seed in a child, and you could reach the world. You could reach the world with just one seed. Who will look upon harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Who will seek the Lord and intercede? Jesus is Lord of the harvest. He's calling all of us to plant a seed.
There's some brochures on the back table that has the things that you will need to know that you can be a part of the team. And if you want to give by credit card, we do take credit cards. And so thank you so much for listening to my heart. Do pray for us on this next Sunday, because we will be in Ho Chi Minh City and meeting with the government on that Monday morning. And pray that God will direct our ways and our tongues and all those things. Can I pray for the offering? Okay.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to you, Duane. Would you say thank you to Duane this morning? You know, you probably don't notice this. Maybe you do notice this, but you know, your speech has gotten better over the last 10 years.
Yes,
oh, you know, because when I first met you, you were making progress, but you've made a lot of progress. So we're just grateful for what God has done in your life. Now, let me ask you a couple of questions here about the ministry. We want to support what you're doing on an evangelistic level as well as the ministry. Do you want the people to give to the ministry out at the table, or would you like them just put it in the offering plate?
Either way.
You'll take it. Any kind of money you can get. Huh?
I want your cash.
Okay.
Not me, but for the ministry.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, we're just gonna sit down and have you sit down. We'll take an offering. Ushers, would you please come and bring our offering plates this morning? You can make the checks out to Life Church. We'll write Destined to Overcome Ministries one check from the church. And just include in there anything you want to give for the project or any designation you want to make. We'll make sure that Duane gets it this morning. So we're so grateful you came our way today. And Duane will be out at the table here in the back. You can meet with him, talk to him about how you could be a full-time part of what he's doing. If you want to know about it, get his newsletter or whatever information he's sending out, you can talk to him back in the back this morning. Lord, right now, we thank you for this opportunity to share this burden that is on Duane's heart for ministering to these children in Vietnam. And Lord, we know that each one of these children has a place in your heart. And so this morning, as we give to Duane's ministry as he travels around the country. And we also give, Lord, for this cataract surgery that they're doing in Vietnam. And we ask you right now, God, to bless this meeting that they have next week that has a part in opening up the freedom for people to worship in Vietnam. And we just pray for an anointing on that meeting, that there will be a new opening by the communist government in Vietnam for Christians to be able to worship the way that they want to. And we're grateful for that. Now bless this money, Lord, as it comes in today to support the needs that you've ordained. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. Thank you for your patience as we passed our offering plates this morning. And we hope that you've enjoyed being here today. Hope that God has ministered to you in a unique and special way. And now we just ask Him to go with us. Father, in your name, we leave this place. May your presence be with us all the time in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in the grace of God this morning. Prayer teams will be down here at the front. If you would like to be ministered to in more prayer this morning, just feel free to come to the front of the sanctuary.
Fire.